You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Well, welcome everybody to another Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears. We're so glad you could join us today.
Good morning.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning.
Looking lovely as always.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So, we got a great program again today, and we want to ask that you would please like and share our broadcast. Get that out to as many people as possible because we believe it's going to help.
Amen.
It's going to help marriages. It's going to help individuals. And so please like and share the broadcast. Yeah. Of course, you can watch us on all the social media platforms from YouTube and Facebook. From our Revival Now app, from our website at revivalnow.com. So there's a lot of different ways that you can watch our ministry. And again, please like and share that broadcast and this broadcast so that we can help as many people and help as many marriages as we possibly can.
Amen.
So today
we've touched on offense. If you caught our little commercial about a half an hour ago on Facebook or Instagram, you know, we've talked about offense, and we're going to talk about offense today, and I believe next week we're going to follow that up. But I think the last time we really talked about it in depth in something like with the Marriage Minute was in 2022.
It's been a while.
It's like time just flies.
It does.
And so, you know, we always go back and look at when we're trying to prepare for the Marriage Minute and the episodes that we want to present to you, like what have we hit that's gotten, you know, some interest and in what can we bring to you again, because that really is so important in our lives. And it makes an impact to understand offense and where it comes from and what it does to relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, I know we've done, you know, rebroadcasts of certain teachings, and the Holy Spirit just gives us something a little bit different. So he gives us a different revelation about it from maybe when we shared it before. And so we believe that again for this time, it's going to be the same thing. And so we believe it's going to be a blessing to you and really help you and help your spouse in your marriage and to make it stronger and better, and that there's more love that's taking place in your life and marriage.
So let's be honest. Every one of us, you and I included,
We've
either offended somebody or been offended by somebody, and
that happens,
or by someone else. And you know, we see offense in society today. I mean, all across social media. Just take time to read comments, you know, from a simple post, and somebody immediately is offended and has to state their case, you know, like because they're right, you know, and all of this. And it's just, you know, it's just really like a cancer that just, once you grab a hold of that offense, John Bevere has a great book. It's called The Bait of Satan. I suggest you get it and read it. We did, you know, in working through and understanding offense in our marriage and in our life. But it's like a cancer that just affects the mind and the body so much. It can make you sick, really. If we're thinking about it, it hurts marriages, it hurts relationships. We're talking about marriages here, obviously, with the Marriage Minute, but offense can hurt, you know, relationships outside of your marriage, even with your children, with your extended family, with your friends, your church, you know, people that you see at church. And so it just leads to division and separation.
You know, the devil, he doesn't want you to be successful in your marriage. You know, that's one of his main tactics and goals is to destroy families.
Yes.
Because if he can destroy the family unit, then he understands the generational impact that that can have in your life and your family. And so when you understand that book that you referenced from John Bevere, The Bait of Satan, that's a powerful teaching. And it's a worthwhile read. And so when you understand the plans and the schemes of the devil and how he is trying to attack you as an individual and how it's going to have an impact upon your marriage and your family, you can push that away and say, no, I'm going to resist the devil. I'm not going to be offended because
I'm not going to grab a hold of it.
I'm not going to grab a hold of that.
Because it is a choice. It really is.
You're right. And at the end of the day, I want my family to be blessed, and I'm not going to give the devil a foothold in my life and in my marriage to destroy it.
Absolutely.
I don't want my marriage destroyed. I don't want my life destroyed, and I want victory in Jesus' name, and I can have it.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Proverbs 18:19, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, says, "It's easier to conquer a strong city than to win back a friend whom you've offended. Their walls go up, making it nearly impossible to win them back. That is so true. I'm just going to read that one more time. Mm-hmm. It is easier to conquer a strong city than to win back a friend whom you've offended. The walls go up. So that's a key mm-hmm. point there, making it nearly impossible to win them back.
You know, when you just read that, their walls go up. I know when my wall has gone up. Mm-hmm. I feel it. It's tangible. Mm-hmm. And I can feel myself putting up a wall of protection to, protect myself, defend myself, you know, whatever that adjective is that you want to use.
Up.
My guard is up. And I know when that's happening. And so that's a good sign. I mean, from this scripture alone, that's a great sign to know that if my wall's going up, there's a real potential that I have offense happening in my life.
Yeah, and another physical thing that happens for me is at the moment that I'm offended, my hearing and listening stops. Because all I focus on now is I've been hurt because it's a hurt, you know, and I've been offended, and now I'm mulling over, which is opening that door.
And for yes, your hearing stopped as far as from God, but somebody's still speaking to you.
Right. Yeah. So Satan jumps in there
right.
and takes over because I allow him to do it because it happens in so fast.
It's quick.
So fast. So you can actually feel your wall going up, but what's happening there, that's a really key indicator. So when that happens, you know, really try to, you know, stop yourself mm-hmm. from allowing the enemy to tell stories in your head about the motivation of that person that just
right.
offended you, really,
that's
basically.
Exactly it. So there's several sources for how offense can come about. One is, you know, you could have unforgiveness toward your spouse.
That's huge.
Maybe there was something that they did that, you know, hurt you, and you're just not going to forgive them because you believe that if you forgive them, then that makes what they did okay. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness is not really for your spouse. It's for you. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, this is what he said. He said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So basically what happens is that when you are unwilling to forgive your spouse for whatever the issue was, what you've done now is you've opened the door for deception, and you've allowed bitterness to come into your heart. It's, mm-hmm. it's gained a root mm-hmm. in your mm-hmm. life, so to yeah. speak. So now that seed of bitterness has been planted in your heart, and so now you become offended, and now you're withholding forgiveness. And the scripture is very clear. You can take this literally. If you don't forgive your brother from your heart, God cannot forgive you. Jesus meant this. This is mm-hmm. the words of Jesus. This is what he was speaking Amen. To his Amen. Followers in that time. And so this is a literal thing. It's you don't have to like, well, is this, he's just making a suggestion. No, he's actually making a command. And he's making the command not out of wanting to like, his heart is not to necessarily punish you, but it's say, look, I have better for you. If you're just willing to forgive,
Amen.
Then you're not going to open the door to the devil to come in and deceive you and to bring trouble into your life. That's really the heart of Jesus. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to keep you from challenges and difficulties in your life. And if you experience those, hey, you can ask for forgiveness, confess your sins, and he will forgive you, and because he's faithful and just. And so when you do that, you don't allow unforgiveness to bring offense into your life. And
you really said
that.
It. The key to that is an understanding. Like you might feel like you're withholding forgiveness from someone to teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
They might be oblivious.
Well,
to it. And
know.
So you're sitting here and stewing and being so angry and offended. What does that do? It's poisoning you.
Right.
They don't care most of the time, or they don't know
men don't know. I
right.
mean, ladies, you know this with your husband. Some of us, we just don't get it. We don't clued in. And so we're in the doghouse, so to speak, or we're in a bad, you know, you're feeling kind of angry and distant.
You're sensing something here.
Yeah, you're sensing something. But like, I know in my life with you, like, I don't have a clue like what I did.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. One, ladies, you need to communicate that in a healthy way. Like what happened and what hurt you, and then allow your husband to like truly understand what's going on, so he can say he's sorry.
Yeah.
And guys, don't be prideful and not say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Just say you're sorry.
Ladies as well.
If you screwed up, you screwed up. It's okay. Just say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
But another one is unmet expectations. So, you know, we've talked about expectations
a lot. because it's so huge.
It's so huge. Yeah. And so you may have an expectation that your spouse is supposed to do this or that, but you didn't speak about it. It's kind of been, you know, something that you learned from your past that you didn't really communicate, but you thought your spouse should do this because your father did this, or your mother did this, or whatever. Yep. And so when those unmet expectations happen, because you really haven't communicated about it and you haven't agreed upon those expectations, then when they become unmet, you get upset about it and you get frustrated and you get disappointed. And all of those emotions lead toward offense. Mm-hmm. It just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. And then you start to, this may not translate well to our friends overseas, but you may wallow in this self-pity. And
like a pig in a sty.
Yeah, like a pig in mud, and you're just wallowing in it, and you're not coming out of it because you're just continuing to allow yourself to go down this path of frustration, disappointment, without even communicating what's going on. So unmet expectations can be a source of offense. Mm-hmm. The last one is past hurts and woundedness. So we've talked about trauma in the past. There's A trauma and B trauma. One is more of a physical abuse.
That was the first year we started.
Yeah,
that was early.
Yeah, and the other one is emotional abuse. So I'm not remembering which is which, but that's the basic definition of A and B trauma. And so when you've had trauma happen in your life and in your past, what we believe and what we've seen in our own life is that's one of the biggest sources of offense.
Yeah,
because sometimes your spouse is triggering something from your past that you experienced as a child growing up with your parents or someone else that you may have trusted,
authority figure.
Thank you.
It's not written down either. I just knew that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, that's great. I love Holy Spirit.
I do too.
So an authority figure. So you may have been hurt. So when a situation comes around with your spouse that looks the same or sounds the same, it just triggers you.
It does.
And so now you're like, my spouse is offending me or whatever. They don't even know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because it's really not in that current situation. Your spouse may not have an ill intent toward you. They may not have a heart that's trying to hurt you. It may be totally innocent that they don't realize, but it's triggering you from past events. And now you start to transfer the pain of the past onto your spouse. Mm-hmm. So that can become very powerful. And so you have to deal, and Jesus does. And when Jesus comes into our life, he deals with those hurts of our past, and he can wash those things away.
Amen.
So that the past doesn't dictate your future.
Amen.
Can you say amen? So again, like I said, we believe that is a big part and can be a big part of how offense can come into your life is from past trauma and past hurts.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you were touching on there, and he mentioned it, it's called transference of pain. What you were talking about was transferring the pain from your past to anybody. I mean, we're talking about your spouse, but if you find that you're in conflict with other people, most importantly, your spouse, and you can't pinpoint what they did or what they did, it's very likely that you're bringing past hurts into your current relationships.
Right.
You know, what we're doing is we're allowing that same problem to continue to cycle from one year to the next. You're going to, we often use this, you know, aren't you getting tired of circling that same tree round and round and round and round? Because that's what it is. You're just in this cycle of hurt and pain. And until you recognize the root cause, that's why it's so important to understand and recognize the root cause. And until that's dealt with, your wrong belief system, it's still going to continue to push you around that same tree. So we need to dismantle that wrong belief system and allow the love of God and his healing power, the healing power of Jesus Christ, to just teach you something new and for you to understand that you need to let go. And where it's like, you know, when we say, giving your life to Christ, three simple steps. The first step is recognize. Mm-hmm. Recognition is a key in many, many things. You cannot work on yourself and you cannot understand your past trauma and your past pain and what you're doing until you recognize and accept that that's what you're doing.
Amen.
Yeah.
No, that's good. So this is the root. So, you know, offense, you know, as an analogy, is kind of like a bruise. So anybody that's played, You know, I played a lot of sports back in the day when I was in high school and college years and things like that. And or you know, you have a fall and you have an accident and you hit yourself. And so you get a bruise on your body, part of your body. And so, you know, like either that day or the day after, that bruise becomes purplish and blue. And when you press on it, it's pretty tender, you know, and that's the kind of same thing really as offense, you know. You're bruised. You're bruised emotionally. It could have been physical, but there's an emotional trauma that comes along with physical abuse. And so from that, you've got this bruise. And so when your spouse touches that place, touches that bruised area in your life, it hurts.
Yeah.
And that whole past comes back up again. And then you think, well, here we go again. It's starting to cycle again. I see the same thing happen again. So
yeah.
I was going to say to what you're talking about with belief systems, we start to make these statements in us. Like I remember as a child when I made this statement, when I had an issue with an authority figure as a in kindergarten, actually, one of my teachers. And I, out of what happened in my life, I made the statement unconsciously, but I made the statement that I can't trust people in authority.
Even at 5 years old.
And so... Those are the kinds of statements that you'll make. And so I can't trust anyone in authority. So that doesn't matter who's in authority. It applies to all. So if my husband seems to be an authority figure to me, my boss seems to be an authority figure to me, it doesn't matter because that belief system that formed when I was a child plays itself out again in my life over and over again until the healing comes to that wounded moment in your life and allow Jesus to come in and actually apply his healing balm to your life and his shed blood to cover over that and to wash it clean.
You know, a lot of things that we say in our circle, I will say, it's the filter, you know, that's it's the filter that you see life through. And you've heard us say that a lot in the Marriage Minute because it's so true. You know, when you have unresolved past issues, when you have forgiveness issues, you know, with people, and you're circling that same tree, the filter, think about sunglasses or your glasses, you know, the filter or those solar glasses that we saw here recently that you see life through is tainted and it's broken.
Yeah.
And so you've got to work on that filter.
Yeah.
And because we want purity and we want, you know, purity of heart. We want motivation to be pure. We want peace. We want all of that.
We do. And, you know, I was just thinking, Holy Spirit was just kind of giving me something to share. Mm-hmm. So related to what I said about myself when I was, you know, 5 years old, I didn't discover that until I was going through some healing ministry and some counseling. But that was the vow that I made. You know, that was the belief system that I had. And so that same belief system can also be transferred onto God. And I've done that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that a lot in my life. So, you know, sometimes we can't trust God or we don't believe God is who he says he is and that he's a good, loving father. And when you have this belief system like I had that you can't trust anyone in authority, God's an authority figure. So how can God fully manifest himself in your life through the Holy Spirit when you've got this wall up, which I had because of the belief system? You won't let him in. You'll let him in so far. But you're not going to let him all the way in, right? He wants to really come and live big on the inside of you because
he wants to do big things in your life.
And so, but when we have this wall up of offense or this belief that he's not good or you can't trust him because he's an authority figure too, really, now the best that God has for you in your life and your marriage for that matter, you can't see it. It won't manifest fully because you're always keeping him at a distance, right? So don't allow these wrong belief systems to affect your marriage, number one. Number two, don't let it affect your relationship with God because he has great things in store for you. But number two, don't let that affect your marriage with your spouse because God wants you to have a great marriage and you can.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
You know, the Bible is very clear. Hebrews 12. I jumped down to here.
Oh, that's fine.
12:15 NLT, look after each other so that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So this is a very clear scripture talking about bitter root judgment, bitterness, resentment, offense. The Bible says, be careful not to allow it to take root and to grow. And that's the key there. We don't allow it to take root and to grow, because it doesn't just corrupt you. A lot of people, you know, I hear, well, what I do, you know, my unforgiveness isn't affecting anybody, or my whatever, you know, my hatred or dislike of that person just not affecting them. Well, it does. It affects everybody around you, because now you have this bruise. Again, I think of an apple, you know, when it gets bruised, how it kind of seeps down into, it just seeps into your spirit.
Yeah.
It like a cancer, like we said at the beginning, and it just corrupts everything.
It does.
It corrupts everything.
So there's some signs that you can look for. You just say, okay, well, okay, Pastor Richard, this is great, but how can I really see the signs of offense maybe being in my life? So we've got five different ones that we want to just share with you.
Do you have those pulled up, or do I need to pull some up?
All the scriptures?
Yeah.
I have maybe one pulled up.
All right, I'll do the second one that you're going to talk about.
Okay. You may be, I've done this, so I'm, you know, admitting it right now. Got the t-shirt.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm more concerned about being right about everything than anything or anyone else, right?
Because if you're not right, if you're not correct, what is that saying to you?
It means that I'm not valuable. Yeah. I'm not good enough. I'm not acceptable. Someone's going to reject me. That's what that basically means.
Yeah, if you run into somebody that tries to, like, in response to feeling like they've done something wrong, tries to, I'm not saying, I mean, defense is a strong word, but like, give, you know, this is why this happened, and this, you know, then
there's always an answer.
There's always a reason. It's not because there are some people who are arrogant and just prideful and stupid like that.
That can get in the way.
But the majority of people have an inner belief system that says, if I'm not correct, if I don't have the right answer, then I'm not good enough. I'm not valuable. And there's no love there. It's so strange how the mind does that. Like, not being right or not having the right answer all the time is equal to, my husband now doesn't love me, or he's thinking negative thoughts about me.
Which is to the point of the scripture you just read, right? We have to get to the root of why that root of bitterness cannot grow up in our spirit, right? So when we have those wrong belief systems, then we've got to cut those things off at the root. We have to begin to understand why we believe the way that we do, you know? And so we've touched on that enough already. So the second one is, do I have a tendency to focus on other people's faults? Well, Jesus spoke about that too. Are you reading that scripture?
No, I've got Luke.
Okay. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, and Jesus said, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Mm-hmm. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
Yeah, that's good.
So you don't have to, you know, God's the final judge and jury of everything. That doesn't mean that we as believers don't judge. I mean, we can judge rightly when it comes to other believers, for sure. I mean, we can provide advice and counsel and things like that, and to call things out amongst the believers in the church. But if you're dealing with some things in your own life, and you're not willing to address that, and all you're willing to do is look at someone else, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
You've got to take a look at, you can't be a hypocrite. That's what Jesus is saying. Mm-hmm. Deal with issues in your own life too. It doesn't mean you can't speak to others about things that you may see, especially when you've come through some things that the Lord's helped you with. Certainly you can be an aid and a guide for people. But if all you ever do is look at other people's faults, Jesus is saying, don't do that.
Listen, we all have to start somewhere. You started at rock bottom, and you were in the muck and mire when Jesus came and plucked you out. Mm-hmm. And so I always am reminded of where I came from and where I started.
That is a great point.
You know, yeah, God has brought us through. We are so grateful and in awe of what God has done within our marriage, with each of us personally, with our family. But if we were to walk around prideful and boastful about that, when we give all credit to God, everything is because of Him. Nothing that has happened to further us in our relationship and in our marriage is just in and of our own effort, because that would just be a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. But we always have to remember, we love where we're at now, and we know we're going to keep learning and growing in every aspect of our marriage. But we can never, ever, ever forget how we started and what got us to rock bottom in the first place. And so we can't walk around on this earth judging and pointing fingers, because you were once in that same place. Every one of you.
So it's really grace, right? We've been saved by grace through faith in what Christ did. We can't boast in and of ourselves. And so it's not going to be your good performance and your good works that save you. It's going to be the grace and the love and the mercy of God through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. So that's where that's where power comes from, right? And the thing that I was thinking of when you were sharing is that, you know, if we don't have that recognition about, you know, realizing where we came from, then we're denying the power of what Jesus did on the cross. We're just saying it was all in vain. Like, okay, he didn't really do it. He did everything for you and I. Everything. He did everything to give us all the freedom, all the blessings, all the joy, all the happiness in life that we can have. He did all of that for us. And why we were yet sinners. He died. He died for us. So we weren't even perfect at the time that he did that. Right? He did it anyway.
So if you're waiting to plug into a church until you feel like you're perfect and have it all together, that's never going to happen without him. So just go.
So the third sign that you could look for is, you know, am I always speaking? You know, we I think we touched on this last week. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18, chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what are the words that are coming out of your mouth? Are they always critical? Are they always negative? Is that the speak that comes out of your mouth all the time? It matters. So if you're always criticizing, if you're always negative, there's a problem with your heart.
Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What are we talking about? What we've said from the very beginning of Marriage Minute, it's about the heart. It's a heart attitude issue.
It's the absolute truth.
So moving right along, the fourth thing of five signs that you could be dealing with the spirit of offense is, do I vent to others about things people did to upset me? That is really called, it looks like a victim mentality. You know, because obviously you're not going to go to somebody and say, oh my gosh, I just did this, I feel so bad. I mean, if you're going to go to somebody, go to the person that you offended or whatever and handle it that way. Did you look
I've got that
scripture. Yeah, go ahead.
So James 4, chapter 4, 11 and 12 say this. Believers do not, I'm reading from the Amplified as well. Believers do not speak against or slander one another. He who speaks self-righteously against a brother or judges his brother hypocritically speaks against the law and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, the one God who has the absolute power of life and death. But who are you to hypocritically or self-righteously pass judgment on your neighbor?
If you pick and choose scriptures to read just to make you feel good, you're going to skip right over that one.
that one will make
Don't skip scriptures.
That won't make you feel good.
The scriptures will totally, totally discipline you. Number five, do I have a hard time forgiving even the smallest things that someone may have done to me? This is a big one. You know, it happens a lot. Even the smallest, tiniest things. Don't be consumed by the flesh is what we're saying there. You know, be consumed by Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:13-15 says, make allowance for each other's faults. I could just stop there. Have some grace and forgive anyone who offends you. Well, even the person that offended me to the point where it just shattered my life. That's what he's saying here. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all else, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. You can't live in peace and always be thankful with offense raging through your spirit, raging through your flesh, I should say.
To the just one other little thing about point number five, the fifth sign, like the smallest things are creating an unforgiveness issue where you have a hard time forgiving. I've seen that not only in myself, but I've seen that in other people. Like, okay, why are they making this such a huge issue when it's so, so small? They're really getting upset about something that, one, has no eternal significance, and it's just being blown up. It's just like you put dynamite on it and this thing just exploded. Like, wow, how did this thing get so big? How did this small thing? That goes back to what you've already talked about, which is that whole childhood trauma issue, right? It could be a very, very small thing, right? One way is it's a small thing, but because the bruise is being pushed, it turns into a big thing. Or there's already that root of bitterness that's in a person's heart towards someone, right? They did something, an unmet expectation, whatever, and now there's already this root of bitterness here. And so this small thing, even though it's small, is just one more thing that gets compounded into the emotions that are already in your spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So now you just start spewing venom because there's just one more thing added onto the pile, if you will, that's in your spirit toward this person, and you can't move past it.
Yeah, and then there's just so many things that once you've grabbed a hold of offense and now you're starting to spew, you know, at some point that right finding comes in to play. You can see how it's just this little web, big web, that the enemy wants you to grab a hold of, or grab a hold of you, and you allow it because it just continues to, like, and now all of a sudden, now you, some people even, I've seen it, I've witnessed it, they recognize, there's a moment they recognize that they sound ridiculous, but the pride now has entered in, and by golly, they are going to go down with the ship, even if they sound completely ridiculous. They know they sound, I've probably done this. I'm pretty sure I have.
Yeah.
And you're just like, there's no way now that I'm going to ever admit fault. As ridiculous as I look, you know, I will not wave the white flag. And it just is incredible what a hold that has on people.
But you can break the cycle.
Absolutely.
You know, if Jesus...
We wouldn't be here if you couldn't.
Exactly. That's amen, sister.
Thank you, Lord.
If Jesus loved well,
if
Jesus loves well, which that means he's loving us in the present, and we know that Jesus is going to love us well even into our future,
that's right.
We can do the same thing.
Amen.
Right? Because he's the one that gives us the power to do these things, because the same power that raised Christ from the dead can live on the inside of you.
Amen.
Right? He lives on the inside of Don and I, Pastor Don and I. He lives there. So we've been empowered by the Spirit of God to actually live right, to love well, as Jesus did.
Amen.
He gives us that ability to do that. When Jesus comes, he's the one that washes away the pain, the hurt, the strong emotions that you're dealing with, right? So those bruises that happened in your early childhood don't have to be the thing that plays out into your future, into your future marriage, in your life. It doesn't have to be that way. He said, hey, I came to make all things new. That's why he came. He came to make your life new. He came to make our life new. And it's for everybody.
To make you a new creation. And he did that for you. You're not the same person
exactly.
that I married. And I'm not the same person you married. Not even close.
No. We're.
Are you crying?
Not yet.
Okay.
I think I saw tears in your eyes. You know, when we talk about Jesus and just the fact of where he brought us from, you know, as individuals and also in our married life, I mean, he restored our lives as individuals, but he also restored our marriage.
And
when
children.
When we think about what Jesus did for us, if he'll do it for us, his word says he's no respecter of persons.
Hallelujah.
If he'll do it for us, he'll do it for you.
Hold on to that scripture.
You say yes to him and you allow him to come into your life and just transform you, because that's what his spirit does. It transforms you. It burns out all that. You know, the Bible talks about, like, when the fire comes, when the fire of God comes, it burns out those impurities. Like when they're refining precious metal, like gold or silver, the impurities have to be burned away, right?
Amen.
And so all that's left is pure gold and pure silver. It's the same way he wants to work in your life. When the fire of God comes, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, when you receive Jesus Christ, that's when those things, those impurities that are within you, get burned away. And all then you become a new person. Your life is transformed. You're not the same
Amen.
Anymore. So
Amen.
What does someone have to do?
You know, I just get so jazzed about bringing the salvation invitation, yeah. you know, whether it's you or me or Evangelist Dan, Evangelist Shannon. You know, it is something that we want to do every single time we get a chance to be in front of the camera or be in front of people. It's so important, this first step. It's simple to give your life to Christ. Yeah. Have you done that? Have you given your life to Jesus? Do you know, if you have, do you know somebody that hasn't? Do you know somebody that needs this very thing, the saving grace of Jesus Christ to kickstart and be a catalyst for change in their life? So it's three simple steps. It's recognize, repent, and receive. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. All.
Yeah.
All. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody needs the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You must recognize that. As we were talking about earlier, you have to recognize that you are sinning and that your sin not only affects you, but affects everybody around you. And then we repent. Luke 13:3 says, you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. What does that mean? Repent means to do the opposite, to turn away from, to do a 180, mm-hmm. to not continue in the behavior and the sin that you're continuing in, to turn from that and let it go and get rid of it. And then you simply receive. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's very important that you verbally say all of this, you will be saved. You have to commit your heart in life to him by faith. And it doesn't cost you a thing. It's a free gift.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to take it from there?
Yeah. So if you would, we'd like you to out loud pray along with me as I lead you in this prayer into salvation, accepting this free gift
yes.
that Jesus Christ paid for you on a hill called Calvary. You know, he died, he rose again, and he's going to come back. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he's coming back again to take you home.
Amen.
And so you want to believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on what he did. He was a sinless man who walked a sinless life. Something that you and I cannot do on our own.
Suffered everything humanity suffers.
He took all the penalty of sin that was due us. He took that for us on the cross so that you and I could have eternal life.
Amen.
That's what he did for
Amen.
You. That's what he did for us. And so would you just pray this prayer out loud with me in your heart out loud, wherever you're at in your car, just pray.
Yes.
Because I believe as you pray this prayer, you're going to have a tangible experience, an encounter with God. Right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory. Mm. And right now, I repent and I recognize that I am a sinner.
Yes, Jesus.
I recognize that I have sinned, that I have not kept the standard of your law. And, Father, I ask you to forgive me. I repent of my sin. I repent of my ways. I repent of all the wrong things that I have done in my past, that I've done even in this present and even into my future. I repent of those things now.
Thank you, Lord.
Right now. And I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my personal Savior and my Lord, that today I receive you and the work that you did on the cross for me, that you died, that you rose again.
Thank you, Lord.
And that you're sitting at the right hand of the Father, and that you will return for me again one day. I thank you for that work that you did for me. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for coming and dying for me. Thank you that you've given me an eternal home with you forever and ever, and I receive your free gift of salvation in the name, in the most precious name, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, welcome to the family of God.
Welcome.
We're so happy that you made that decision.
Thank you, Lord.
It's the best decision you're ever going to make in your life. And, you know, we would encourage you to get connected to a Bible teaching church that teaches all the counsel of God in His Word, not just some of it, not picking and choosing what's being taught, but all of the counsel of the Word of God. Encourage you to get a Bible if you don't have a Bible. Start reading the Word of God. Get connected with like-minded people. That's what church is about. Don't forsake, the Bible talks about, don't forsake the assembling together. Mm-hmm. You'll want to get together with like-minded people who can encourage you and help you in your walk with the Lord and the decision that you made today.
Hey, if you're out there and you called on the name of the Lord, the Bible says for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's you. Yeah. You are saved. You are a new creature in Christ, and you're on your way to heaven to live with Him eternally. And that is something to be thankful and grateful and joyful Amen. About. Just one little thing here before we go. If you would just go, if you gave your life to Jesus right now on this broadcast, or if you're listening to it on demand a little bit later, just go to our website, revivalnow.com. Click that big red button. You'll see it just as soon as that front page, homepage pops up. Click that button, fill out your information so we can get you, the Revival Now team can get you videos and booklets and resources to get you started on the right foot, to get you started strong in Christ.
And we want to pray for everyone. Anyone Amen. Who gave their Amen. Life to Christ, we want to pray for you by name. We're not going to spam you. We're not going to send you a bunch of emails and texts. We just simply want to send you information to help you with your decision today
Amen.
And to pray for you by name. So, hey, we love you guys.
Thank you for watching today.
Thank you for watching. We'll see you again next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.